162, to God be the glory. If anybody needs, I bought three large print. There's two out, and I'm using one, but if anybody needs one, just let me know, and I can use the other. And obviously, we'll get more as they're needed. But I know Pastor Cobb needed one for his eyes. So, all right, to God be the glory on the first. To God be the glory on the first. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. All right. And then if I get Brother Eli, if you can help me today. If anybody needs a bulletin, just raise your hand and Brother Eli will come and get that out there to you guys. And then let me go through the announcements here, but let me just also pull this up. All right. Today is February 15th, and Sunday morning services are 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 4:30 p.m., and our Wednesday service at 5:30 p.m., and then we have a soul winning time. At 2 p.m., our verse of the week is Philippians 1:19. It's, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And then down there at the bottom, just a quick reminder, we are family integrated. And I know we got a lot of babies in the audience. I mean, obviously we want them in here. And then moms, just be aware if they're getting a little bit out of hand. Then there's a mother baby room back there. The reason I bring that up, also, obviously, we're a smaller congregation here, so it is, you know, a little bit more compact. Sound resonates a lot more. But other than that, you know, we want to include you. And I know that Brother Heath has the services back there, right, as well. And then last year, those are our numbers for last year. But so far this year, we're at 44 souls, one for the year. And then we have the birthdays and anniversaries. It was Brielle's birthday, correct? And my wife told me, because she's not here, did you bring a cake? Is that okay? I just didn't want to. So I think there's going to be some cake after the services to celebrate. Oh, cupcakes. I'm sorry. I don't. Yeah. What you just tell them what they need to do. Just anybody who wants to come after the services, they brought some stuff to celebrate free health. You guide it. I don't ever do any of that stuff. My wife handles that. Just pray for them. They'll be back today. My brother-in-law is being discharged from the hospital, so he's got a long road ahead, but at least he's on his way home, so that's why everybody was there to see him off. And then upcoming activities, next Saturday, we have the Soul Winning Marathon. I'll send out a text sometime during the week. We are doing it here locally, so we're going to meet at the church. We'll have breakfast, and then we'll either do lunch somewhere out there, or we'll just do lunch here at the church. I haven't quite figured that out. And then the next major event we got coming up is the Soul Winning Marathon, March 21st. And then the next day after that, Pastor Bruce Mejia of First Works Baptist Church will be preaching both services for us, so we're looking forward to that. He's actually really popular on social media right now. So we expect a lot of people from the Houston area. As a matter of fact, people reach out to me regularly asking me if I know Pastor Bruce Mejia. I'm like, yeah, he's my friend. And they're like, oh, okay. Because he's gotten that much traction. I think he's somewhere up there in the several hundred thousand followers in Instagram, which is one of those weird platforms where it's a lot harder to build up. So he's done a really good job on that. And then, of course, after February, I'll remove that, but congratulations. And I did talk to Brother Heath. I'll make sure to get all those gift cards to everybody for the New Testament Challenge that was completed in January. I do want to point out, Sister Sheena reached out to me yesterday. She wanted Theo to get baptized today. We still use this big baptism back here. We're eventually going to fix it to where we can fill up a trough at any point, because we're getting more people. But as of right now, if you want to get a baptism, just give me like a couple of days heads up, because it does take me a couple hours to get this thing ready. So that's why I didn't do it, Sister Sheena. She texted me like late afternoon yesterday, and it would have just been so just getting that filled up takes like 2 hours with a hose. But before that, we got to make sure it's clean and everything. So if you want to do it next Saturday, that's fine. I'll get it ready. I mean, next Sunday, we'll do the baptism. But I figured it'd be a good time to just let you know. Anytime you guys want any baptisms until we get that fixed where we can do it on the spot, just give me a couple of days. I mean, even if it's just Friday, I just need that Saturday to come in and get it ready. And that'll help me out. And then one of the things I did mention, if you guys will just, this is really for the men. So Steadfast Baptist Church has this link on their website where they're trying to push soul winning at colleges. And what really brought me up is, I'll round this out, I have another one. But, and there's a lot of public colleges here in the Houston area. So if we could get a couple men to lead that charge, you know, I'll get you, we'll communicate with them, because then they'll promote it and we'll get people from out of state or even within the state to come out, and we can go do a big push for the church and also just for those colleges. Apparently it's really receptive. Sorry? Oh. I'm sorry. Oh, yes. And then the Brother Heath was here yesterday. He's fixing one of the rooms back there, which is what's been used to be the playroom. Like, there's sheetrock and, I don't know, trim and nails. So for right now, if the kids can just stay out of it just for today, that should be cleaned up by the end of the week. But there is a lot of materials. And then, pray for this. I don't know all the details, so I don't know how it's going to work out, but Trey ran into someone who actually has a parking lot for the rodeo. I don't know if you're not from Houston, you're not familiar. The rodeo is like a huge event. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of people for a whole month, and people park miles away and then get shuttled to the rodeo. So this gentleman that Trey put me in touch with has a parking lot, and he wants to like make it a ministry type event. I talked to him briefly yesterday. I told him, look, we just want to be able to soul win and, you know, give these people the gospel and pull them out of hell. And he's like, well, I'm going to be driving the van. So, like, the whole thing is eventually he wants to build it. This is the first time. So if it works out, just pray. Then we'll be able to just put people there to just go and soul win at that place with permission, which would be awesome, because and what we want to do is do it when they get there on the way to the rodeo while they're waiting for the shuttle. Not on the way back, because on the way back, it's probably they're not going to be in great shape. So if you know anything about the rodeo, there's a couple of reasons people go. Number one is to get really, really drunk. So Probably. I mean, unless they're younger, of course, then it's not going to happen. But other than that, just pray for my wife and my family. They're on their way back. My sister-in-law flew in from Alabama, so I just told her to make sure to go. It's too many kids to be just by herself. My brother-in-law is getting discharged today. And then just pray for the messages. I think I'm fine, but I was under the weather all week. So if you hear me coughing, that's what it was. Just I know some of you are more averse, so I'll just say hi to you from far away, so you don't worry about it. And then if anything else, let's turn our hymnals over to page 472. 472. This is my Father's world. On the first. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the dark of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler there. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven won. All right, let's turn our hymnals over to page 441, and then we're going to be in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalm 74.
Sir.
Psalm 74. And then if you get a chance, you know, when I was young, I was trying to be rich and own a penthouse suite and travel the world for all the wrong reasons, but there's a crew back there of young guys that just travel and go visit all the churches that are, you know, friendly with each other. And so they're back here after 2 weeks. And so just say hi to them, you know, and, you know, wish them well and pray for them as they travel around everywhere. And also we want to thank them. Brother Alex has been kind enough to try to help us get a better lens for the camera so we could get a better picture. So I appreciate all the effort that those guys are doing, and just pray for them. But let's turn over to 441. Great is thy faithfulness. On the first, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, summer mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All right. We'll have Brother Matt read for us. And if I can get Brother Trey to take up the tithes and the offerings while he's reading, greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, everyone, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Psalm chapter 74. Verse 1, the Bible reads, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedest up mighty rivers. The day is thine. The night is also thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people blaspheme thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of the poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God. Plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee, increaseth continually. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for gathering us here this morning in your house. Thank you for even hearing our prayers, Lord. We just want to take a moment here and worship you and give you thanks and praise you for your glory and praise you for your might and your strength. Lord, please soften our hearts so that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word and become more effective servants for you. Lord, please fill Pastor Reyes with your Holy Spirit and allow him to preach with boldness and clarity from the pulpit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're there in Psalm 74. But if you want to, go ahead and also turn to Revelation 2. Let me just get this all plugged in, put my little timer here so I don't go over. All right. And the title of my sermon this morning, the title of the message this morning is Synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of Satan. I was trying to come up with like a really fancy term for it, but that itself, or a fancy title, but that in itself basically is the descriptor of what we're going to be dealing with today. And I'm just continuing on this, where every few weeks, I'm not going to do it every week, but I'm just going to build up on why we are, why we preach so hard against certain religions and against certain people groups. And I'm not talking by race, but by spiritual allegiance, because we are obviously any race, any purpose. The Bible says we're of one blood, and anybody that comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and believes on Jesus Christ can be saved. I don't care what religion, what color, what faith, what upbringing you have, as long as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But there is a group of people that seem to be leading this charge against the Lord Jesus Christ, against the Word of God. And they seem to be at the root of a lot of the challenges that are going on worldwide. And it starts with who? They're children of the devil. They're of the synagogue of Satan. But the reason I started there in first in Psalm 74 is, let's just take a look at a couple of verses there. In verse 1, it says, "O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt." And what's going on here is, what is he talking about? It's, hey, the congregation is getting backslidden, and it feels like the Lord's, you know, ignoring them. And he's like, hey, don't forget that you purchased us. Of course, the reference obviously and always will be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased us with his blood. And then we see there in verse 8, it says, "They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land." And the only time you find the word synagogue in the Old Testament is actually in this verse, and it's referencing the synagogues of God in the land. So I will kind of touch a little bit on a synagogue, but it's basically a place of prayer, worship, it's not necessarily a church, but it's a location or a set location and building where people come to gather and pray and all that stuff. Even today, there's synagogues, but at that time, they had already become part of the modern culture, right? And it turns out that based on the Bible, just on one verse, and all we need is one verse for reference, if God says it, right, that they started out with the right intent. It says the synagogues of God. They burned them up. You know what it is? That devils crept in. Here it references Leviathan, and it references people making, you know, taking axes and chopping down trees. What are they doing? They're carving out idols, right? And they're creeping in, and basically they're perverting the doctrine of God. They're perverting the congregation, and they're leading them astray. And that is the danger of any church at any time in history, is that the devil is always seeking whom he can destroy and how he can devour. And if he can't destroy you from without, he's going to seek to destroy you from within. Right. And we know that the Bible actually speaks very strongly of a specific group of people. And yes, I am talking about the modern day Jews or the religion of Judaism. I'm not talking about a race, because people argue, oh, well, Jesus was a Jew. Yeah, he was of the tribe of Judah. That's how you get the word Jews. Right. They were of a lineage. But by the time Jesus shows up in the scene in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you have a group of people that are religious zealots against the things of God. I mean, literally, Jesus is constantly saying, hey, in the word it says, you know, honor father and mother, but you guys have perverted it, and you've twisted it completely the opposite direction, and you've basically destroyed the tenets that are the word of God, right? And let's go there to verse 12. It says, "For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." So what's always been the plan? Salvation. Drawing people out of the pit, out of the lake of fire, pulling them out having compassion on them, right? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And then just, this is really just a personal thing, but there's another reason besides the fact that we know the King James is God's word and it's the only word and that we don't need any other versions. It's just really cool sometimes, some of the wording. This is personal, but there in verse 20, it says, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. I mean, that's just a really good descriptor of what we're dealing with in the world, right? And then we just go there to verse 23. It says, forget not the voice of thine enemies. And then it ends with the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. And this is why it's so important for us. And sometimes churches like us get a bad rap because we're constantly preaching. Sometimes it feels like we're preaching more negative than positive. And look, we started out the year and I preached some good messages on, you know, goal setting and being the 1% and how we're peculiar people. But the Bible constantly is telling us, it's not just here in Psalm 74, but you just go back to Genesis 6 and, you know, just read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentation. And then you get into the New Testament and it's the enemies, right? Those that rise up against thee increase what? Continually. It's a continuous thing. It's a drip. It's a Chinese torture. It's just constantly dripping at Christianity that the enemies of Christ are increasing all the time, right? Every day there's something new, and if you really dissect it, if you peel back that onion of conspiracies and of the theories, it all is stemmed from the devil hating the Lord Jesus Christ, hating the things of God, right? And what I'm trying to do here with these sermons is really kind of dispel a couple of things and get you landing on the truth, right? I don't want to just, you know, right now, this is a popular message, but it's also a negative message. It's always, you know, you always have the polarizing thing, but with the rise of social media and Generation Z and like the newer generation that has access to a lot of information, they're starting to see the truth of not only the Judaizers, but also just even false religions, the corruptness of like big corporations and false governments, you know, and all that stuff. That's always existed. But now the younger generations have more access to verify the truth. The challenge with that is that you can and I've talked about this, you can overcorrect, right? I remember when YouTube first came out, like in the early 2000s, you could access anything. I mean, you could find out anything about anything. And the problem was that people were so good at making videos that you just took them at like truth without ever really verifying if what they were saying was true, right? And so I'm coming from a place where I've been down that road where when you find something out for the first time, you know, especially if it's not directly from the Bible, you can kind of get really overzealous. And there's some things in that mindset or even in that stance that you're taking that are wrong. And what I want us to do is have a biblical view of what the synagogue of Satan really is. Why do we preach against certain groups of people? Why do we bring it up? Because otherwise, we're just sounding just like the rest of the world with no rhyme or reason as to why we're doing it. You know, I don't care, you know, about the conspiracy theories that are out there, like that the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. I don't care about that. That makes no difference in my life. What I care about is that Satan is looking to destroy you and your family. That's what I care about, because that's not a conspiracy. That's a fact, right? I mean, because I always ask myself the question. I didn't do it when I was younger, but I ask myself the question. Okay, so let's just say we found that out, that this was true, that, you know, this sinister group of people, which I believe there are a sinister group of people that are pulling strings at the highest forms of government and power and principalities and all this stuff in the world. Let's say we find out this was true. What's going to change? Over 5 million documents and emails came out from Jeffrey Epstein. I literally watched the 30-second clip yesterday where they took AI and they analyzed the top 10 people that most emailed back and forth with Jeffrey Epstein. And guess what? None of them are in jail. None of them. I mean, these are ex-ministers from not just the U.S., from foreign countries, big corporations, big journalists, you know, people that just have power and influence. And you know what? They're all at home sleeping well tonight because, you know, the world's not going to punish them. The Lord will take them out, right? So I'm not going to worry about that stuff. What I want to worry about is how do I protect you guys? How do I protect my family from things that are coming down the pipe, right? So let's go. Let me just kind of, as a form of introduction, but do go to Revelation 2. Go to Revelation 2. But really quick, where do I draw this from? You know, this is just the way that I look at it. So the first point I have for you, I only have 4 points for you this morning, is that, you know, what is a synagogue? Because this term is thrown around and, you know, people confuse it. And there's this kind of like, not necessarily in our groups, but in modern Christianity, you know, there's another sector of Christianity that's much bigger, that is pro-Israelites, pro-Jew. We should be allies with the Jews. They take verses out of context, and they don't even know what half of this stuff even really is. But the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 21, it says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Look, the reason that we, even Jesus said, hey, I've written to you, not because you don't know the truth, but let me make sure I clear this even further. Even when people say, hey, there's a little truth sprinkled in this lie. No, there's no lie. I mean, there's no truth in a lie. It's a lie. If you look at the book of Job, it sounds like the miserable comforters and even the young guy, it sounds like they're saying some stuff that makes sense. But when you get to the end of Job, when God himself speaks, you know what? They were all wrong. So just because you're quoting Bible or you're saying something that sounds like Christianity doesn't mean that it's truth. If you're sprinkling a lie in there, then it's a lie. You've tainted that whole entire piece of truth with just a little bit of a lie. That's all it takes, right? It's the analogy, and I know it's gross, but it's a good analogy because it'll, especially in the young people's here, if I had purified crystal clear water and all I did was just take one tiny drop of some kind of fecal matter and put it in there, how many of you would drink that? Nobody. It's gross. So it's no longer pure water. It's tainted. It's jacked up, right? But what is a synagogue? Well, a synagogue or a shul, it's just a meeting school in Yiddish, or a temple, is a place of worship for Jews and Samaritans. It serves as a house of prayer with a main sanctuary and sometimes smaller chapels where Jews attend religious services or ceremonies such as weddings, bat mitzvahs, choir performances, and children's plays. Synagogues often also contain study rooms, social halls, administrative and charitable offices, classrooms for religious and Hebrew studies, and spaces for community gatherings. They frequently display commemorative, historic, or modern artwork alongside items of Jewish historical significance, or exhibits about the synagogue itself. So it's basically, it's just the buildings are used for Jewish prayer mainly, study, assembling. And then this is interesting. The reading of the Torah is traditionally read entire over a period of a year in a week, portions during the service, or in some synagogues on a triennial cycle. However, the edifice of a synagogue or such is not essential for holding Jewish worship. And then the other thing that they're saying here is that then there's the oral Torah, which is kind of weird. I didn't even know. Just doing, and I was like, let me not get off on this tangent because that's not the whole sermon. That's what I'm saying. This is several sermons because it's just a lot to cover. But the oral Torah is basically like where, basically, I guess the rabbis or the people who are chosen leadership interpret the Torah to whatever they think is deemed correcting or solidifying or correcting or modifying the written Torah. So basically you're relying on a bunch of guys to tell you how it is. And by the way, that's what, you know, we rely on the pastor to expound on the word of God. But you know what a good pastor will do? And I'm not saying I'm a great pastor or anything about it, but I am a good pastor in the sense I'm going to tell you, if you don't agree and the Bible disagrees with me, you know who you land on? The Bible. I'm not here to override anything that the word of God says. I am not the Pope. I am not a rabbi. I am not, you know, the vicar of Christ. I am none of that. If anything, I'm just the messenger of Christ. And if I get it wrong, well, then clarify it with the word of God. It's open to interpretation, public interpretation. You can figure out the word of God without coming to church. I'm just helping you move it along faster. You know what I mean? So that is a big difference between that type of environment, right? And then, you know, here just over time. They've been constructed. So, you know, they're throughout history. In the first temple period, Jewish communal worship revolved around the temple. We know this from the Old Testament, right? And it served as a central focal point and significant symbol for the entire Jewish nation. As such, it was a destination for Jews making pilgrimages during the three major festivals. Although there's no evidence, you know, eventually you started getting other buildings, and that's where we get what's known today as the synagogue, right? They believe, or it's believed, that the first synagogue emerged during or in the Jewish diaspora, probably after Babylon exile of Judea in 586 BC, and several centuries before the introduction of the land of Israel. And so, you know, and of course, there's like all this stuff, and then they reference, you know, like Josephus and other Jewish historians that say this stuff. But basically, it does line up with the Word of God. In Psalm 74, which is right there in the Old Testament, we see that there are synagogues of God, and they're being burned up. But here's the challenge. By the time, that's the only time you hear the word synagogue in the Old Testament. By the time you get to the New Testament, the synagogues are just a place of gathering. And really, it's run by the religious elite, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. And today, modern-day Judaism and Israel, the state of Israel today, is based on a religion, not on a historical, you know, race or anything like that. Modern-day Judaism rejects clearly, 100%, the existence of Jesus Christ, or if they believe in Jesus Christ as coming on this earth, they label him a rebel rouser who basically failed at his job because he died, right? That's a whole sermon for another day, but that is literally on, I mean, I read that just yesterday and even this morning on several of the websites. Like, this is not stuff that they hide. They're like, who is Jesus to the Jews? He's a nobody. He's basically this loser who didn't accomplish any of the works of God. They definitely don't believe he was raised from the dead. They definitely don't believe he was, you know, born of a virgin. None of that. And it makes sense that Jesus Christ himself would call them the synagogue of Satan, because their whole goal is to be the antithesis to Christianity. Whereas other false religions will try to mimic Christianity, you know, the Catholics and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jewish religion, and that's why I'm being careful, because it's not, because I don't care about the people. If someone who says they're Jews believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, get saved. I'm talking about the religion itself, the Judaizers. That religion itself is only to serve Satan, right? As I was doing this, all this research and everything, I actually sat and watched, like, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes live of a live stream of a local Jewish temple here in Houston. And I just thought to myself, we could just go to 1 Corinthians 11. Is it correct me if I'm wrong, which one is it, speaking in tongues? It's either 11 or I think it's 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is the speaking in tongues. And be like, they're right there, they're breaking the laws of God, because the whole thing is done in Hebrew. And I guarantee you 90% of the people in Houston area that are going there don't speak Hebrew, because everybody was just chanting. It sounded like a Catholic church with Hebrew chants. You know, Elohim, Adonai, Haranai, you know, that was the whole thing with very little English in between. I was like, man, even if I wanted to go check one of these places out, which I don't, I couldn't sit there because I wouldn't understand it. It's like going to a Catholic church that does the whole reading in Latin. How many of you speak Latin in here? You don't. We have Latin roots, but none of us speak Latin, right? How many of you speak Hebrew in here? You don't, right? We know some words in Hebrew from the Bible, but none of us speak Hebrew. So even just on that point alone, it's just... And then I asked, just to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page, are synagogues strictly Jewish? Because that's not how they started out, right? And yes, synagogues are exclusively houses of worship, study, and community gathering for what? Jewish people. And a Jew today is someone who's converted to that religious belief, right? I've actually known in my life, actually, I don't know if Brother Trey knows, but we know someone in common who their son, the props, one of their children converted to Judaism. It was like a heartbreak to the mother. I remember this is like 20 years ago when she came to me. She came to me crying. She's like, my son is converting to Judaism. You know, he started wearing the little hat and all that stuff. So it's a big deal. And like I said, this one stems from what? It has its satanic roots. It stems from Satan himself. Literally the Bible gives us, of all the false religions we could talk about, this one specifically is geared and says, hey, you are of the synagogue of Satan. There's no way to bounce around it. And previously I told you, the characteristics of Satan, right? Who is Satan? Well, he's the devil. He's Lucifer. He's the son of the morning. He's the anointed cherub, the prince of this world, God of this world, prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness of this world. He's referred to as the wicked one or the evil one. He's the enemy. He's a tempter. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a serpent, an old serpent. He's a dragon, but he's also an angel of light. He's a deceiver, Beelzebub. He's the prince of devils. He's the chief of devils. This is not a being that has the best interest in you and your family, right? Of all the people, of all the beings that you could deal with in your life, the one that you don't want to be directly aligned with or deal with at all is the devil. But as Christians, you know what? We are in that crosshair, right? As soon as you get saved, you are now the enemy of the devil. He's seeking to devour, to destroy, to kill, to just murder, to maim, whatever he can do to ruin your life, he's going to do it, right? Point number two is, first, what is a synagogue? I've already explained it. Point number two is, what did Jesus say about them? What did Jesus say about this group of people? We'll go there to Revelation 2. Go to Revelation 2, but just to give you context, just to make sure that, we're all aligned, I'll just read for you really quick. But in Revelation 1, this is, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? And who's speaking here? Jesus Christ, right? If we go through the whole thing in chapter 1, John is basically, he's prostrate almost as one that is dead because he's in the presence of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, right? And we get there, Revelation 2, and we get there to verse 8, and it says, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. Now he's saying there's people in the church, right? We'll get the context here. But he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Now, why is he saying that? Because spiritually they're poor, but financially or carnally they're rich, right? But thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Man, that's a harsh word from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He says, hey, if you're faithful, here's your reward. When you get to heaven, you're going to get a crown of life. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So notice it also very carefully. It says, hey, if you overcome, you won't be hurt where? The second death. You could die here, but you're not going to die the second time. And Christianity has it all backwards, right? But he says, hey, those guys that call themselves the Jews, they're not really Jews. Because at the end of the day, and I'll touch on that briefly, you know who's a Jew? Those that are spiritually of the line of Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I go door knocking and someone says, oh, I'm a Jew, I'll be like, oh, me too. I am. I'm of the seed of Israel, of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by grace. Of course, they don't like that very much, but even if I was nice, they wouldn't like it. So it doesn't matter which way I approached it, right? Revelation 3, just go one chapter over in Revelation 3. So several churches of the seven churches have this problem, right? It says right there in verse 7, of Revelation 3 says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, excuse me, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say They are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them to dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take what? Thy crown. Hey, the crown's already set for you. Don't lose it. And then verse 12 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, hey, you're here in church. You have ears. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Note, Jesus is not confused. This is Jesus speaking. He's not confused. He's not tolerant. What is he doing? Instead, he calls them for what they are and to whom they belong. Right? They feign to be part of the church, but spiritually, they're aligned with who? The devil. And so we have, I mean, isn't that like the major enemy of Christianity, the devil himself? I mean, one of the first things you learn as a little child is that there's God when you're little, right? And there's the devil. And every child learns that the devil's a bad dude. Nobody wants to mess with the devil, right? You don't teach them about false religions. You're not like going around your three-year-old and be like, hey, let me tell you about the Mormons. But a three-year-old understands the devil really quick, right? And, you know, if they're like, my son kind of has more of a self-righteous indignation, he's like, I don't like the devil, you know. If the devil was here, I'd spit on him. And, you know, like, you know how kids get really, yeah, because you just have this, you know that it's a bad enemy. You know, it's funny, just like there's some things that you don't teach your children to sin. They also, you don't have to teach them to recognize the enemies of God. Because God said in Romans that he already wrote, you know, in our hearts, the message of him, right? Go over to John 8. Go over to John 8. I'll read for you really quick in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, right there in verse 11, the Bible says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Hey, you need to be aware that just because it looks like a light, it's not. It says, hey, don't be surprised when the governors and, you know, even ex-Baptist or actually current Baptist preachers that are now, what are they, ambassadors to the state of Israel are telling you that Israel is the chosen people of God. Huckabee, just in case you didn't know what I was talking about. You know, getting up there and just basically kissing the ring. Hey, it makes sense. Like, you know, I right now it's not politics. Like Trump and even Cruz and Marco Rubio, they've never claimed to be Christian the way we claim it. But Baptists are Baptists. You know, you go anywhere in the world. I go soul winning a lot throughout this country. And if I run into a Baptist, 9 times out of 10, you know what? They probably have the right gospel. When you're Huckabee, what's his name? Mike Huckabee. When you're Mike Huckabee, who was a former Baptist preacher, and you can't get this thing right, tells me something about your Bible reading. Because it's pretty clear, right? Go there to John 8 and verse 41. The Bible says, ye do, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, basically the modern, you know, the Jews of that day, right? It says, ye do the deeds of your father, then say they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God, right? The attack is on who? Jesus. Because what they're saying is they don't believe in the triune God. That's exactly what they're doing there. And then they go to verse 42, says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And then here comes, you know, the kumbaya, really sweet, loving, peace-loving Jesus saying, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of a sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word, yet therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, who answered? Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art Samaritan and hast a devil? You know, Jesus is preaching truth, and they're like, hey, isn't this guy crazy? He's on the devil's team, right? And isn't that what society does to, like, the more conservative of a person you are, and then add the more conservative of a Christian you are, the crazier you are, right? I mean, that's kind of like, you just better, you know, that's your badge of honor, okay, with your family and friends. Everybody thinks you're just a little bit weird. You're always talking about faith and religion. You're always preaching the Bible. You know, that's your cop-out for everything. Everything, you know, if it's not in the Bible, it's not true. Well, that's how we live our lives. That's how we dictate how we make decisions, especially moral decisions for our families. If you can't get it, I'm sorry, you can't get it. But I just don't want to fall into the hands of a living God. I don't know what to tell you. You don't have to go there. Go to Galatians 3. But in Romans 2, verse 28, the Bible says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. What? How do Christians not get this? You know, that's what I still don't get, because they're not reading their Bibles. By the way, modern versions don't ever just say it like this. That's the other reason, right? I mean, that's pretty clear, right? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Hey, they're wearing the shawls and little hat and blowing the shofar. God says, hey, that's not a Jew for me. He says, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. So who is a Jew? I'm a Jew. It says, and circumcision is that of the heart. You know, my heart has been circumcised by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he put it all away, right? It says, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And what did the Jews of that day do? And I'm going to prove it to you here. When they went to the synagogues, what did they do? They wanted the praise of men, right? As a matter of fact, you know, someone gave me a nice compliment earlier this week about my preaching. And you know what my prayer was like, Lord, help me to forget those things. I don't want to preach because people like it. I want to preach because it's the truth. I'm not exaggerating. I don't ever want to fall into the trap where if you guys are saying amen and you like it, then that's all I'm going to preach. No, I'm just going to preach whatever I need to preach. Sometimes you'll say amen. Sometimes you won't. And that's okay, because I'm not here to appease the congregation. I'm here to please God, right? We need to preach the truth. Point number three is, what are the characteristics of the synagogue of Satan, right? So, you know, what did Jesus say about it? What is a synagogue? But just really quick, outward religion without any inward regeneration, what is it? What does the Bible say? It belongs to what system? Satan's system, right? So all these people that get up and they're like, oh, you know, let's go to the National Day of Prayer with Paula White. That's pretty satanic, in my opinion. Thrice divorced. All this stuff. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult to knock her out of contention as a, you know, a thought leader, let alone a spiritual leader, right? I mean, but if I have to, I can preach that sermon another day. But what are the characteristics of the synagogue of Satan, right? Well, first of all, they claim an identity, but they don't claim the truth, right? What do we see? They say they are Jews, outwardly, but inwardly they're not, because they're not born of the Spirit. In Galatians 3, verse 6, the Bible says, even as Abraham, and it's interesting because what will the Jews, even to this day, who do they claim homage to? To God Almighty, of the lineage of what? Abraham, Isaac, right? Jacob. That's their lineage, right? But he says, even as Abraham, the Bible says, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, hey, how are you a child of Abraham? Remember the song? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. No, I'm not going to do the whole song, but right. And then we hated that song because it was like you're like an idiot. Left foot, right foot, right, turn around, whatever. But why are we? Why is he Father Abraham? Because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It says that you're the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So, you know, modern day, like, allies of the people of Israel quote Genesis 12:3. It says, you know, those that bless thee, you know, I will bless, and those that curse thee, I will curse. Except they didn't go to Galatians 3, which is, hey, who is he blessing? Those that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So actually, the blessing is to us, not to a lineage of people, not to people that draw their blood and can say that they belong to, you know, the tribe of Issachar. And the reason I say Issachar is because apparently, if you ever run into a black Hebrews Israelite, which that's a whole other sermon for another day, but I have personally been told that the tribe of Issachar is my people, the Mexicans. So, you know, that's why I say that, but which I think is really silly, but that's not here. Go down to verse 14. The Bible says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds, as of many, but as one. And to thy seed, which is what? Christ. And see, that's the contention with, you know, the synagogue of Satan. The minute you mention Jesus Christ. Go to verse 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then this is where all this false religion and these people that say they belong to groups and stuff is destroyed. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I mean, that's pretty clear English, pretty clear scripture. I'm not even going deep. This is not, you know, and there rose a beast out of the sea with 10 horns. And, you know, this is easy stuff, right? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his, and you are of the seed of Abraham, which is what? The seed of Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew 6 and John 3. The Bible says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. Hey, where is the biggest queer haven in the world? In Tel Aviv. I mean, that's like known information. Who runs the porn industry? Right? Who runs Hollywood? Exactly. This is not even like conspiracy stuff. This is real. Everything that the Lord says don't do, they're like, no, let's do. Hey, get married to one wife. No, fornicate all you want. Hey, be neither rich nor poor. No, seek money. Hey, don't look for the applause of men. Hollywood, you know, hey, don't do that thing that is unseemly, right? Men defiling themselves with other men, women, leaving the natural use of the woman or the man for women or whatever. They're like, no, let's just make it a haven for them. That's exactly what they're doing. Matthew 6. Right here, we see a couple of interactions between Jesus and the Jews. It says in verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, Do not sound the trumpet before thee, or the shofar, right? As the hypocrites do in what? In the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth them in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the what? Synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. You know, I was watching that live feed yesterday, and what are they doing? Vain repetitions. They're going. I don't have any context. So there's so like a wall, and at some points they're like down here, and they're like Elohim, Hanamin, and Hanaim, and whatever. And then at other times they're like at this wall carrying something, and then they're doing the same thing. And you know what they do at the Western Wall, Pastor? You've been there in Israel. They sit there and they're like, I wish I was exaggerating, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're just in that and they're praying. Go to Acts 13. I have one more point for you today, but I want to bring this one home real quick. Matthew 7, verse 22, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hey, you want to get God's attention? Do what God's asked you in his word. You want to get the world's attention? Let everybody know how good you are at praying and giving and, you know, all the stuff that the world likes to do. I don't know. It's just weird sometimes. Right? Just because you go to church, by the way, just because you're in church doesn't mean you're saved. Salvation is a personal thing. And it's the time and the moment that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? By the way, it's once saved, always saved, just in case we didn't cover that. But what do these synagogue of Satan individuals do? What do the Jews or the Judaizers do? They blaspheme the true believers. Right? And I mean, it's not that hard. I'm telling you, it's a different world we live in. You can look this stuff up. I wish I was making it up, but literally dignitaries and people in power from the state of Israel will tell you that the Goyim are so easily deceived. You know, that the best way to deceive them is through Christianity. That they're there to serve, you know, the real Jews. This is not, and that Jesus is in hell boiling, you know, in a tub of excrement. That's what they believe. Go to their Acts 13, right there in verse 5, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now notice now, it's the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because by the time you get to the New Testament, they're still in the synagogues. You say, well, why are they preaching in the synagogues? Well, it's not like today, right? Cities and congregations wasn't today. You went where the people were, and everybody congregated around the synagogues. That's where people were hanging out. So Jesus was at the synagogues, but you notice he never gave the stamp of approval. He was always calling them out. And what did the apostles do after Jesus went to heaven? They did the same thing. They went to there and then they ministered. Go to verse 14. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. In other words, you see the what they were doing. People were gathered together. They would read the law and the prophets. And then somebody got up and said, hey, does anybody else have anything to say? It says, Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God give audience. And if you were to read later on, he basically rips on them for killing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get down to verse 42, and it says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Right? So the Jews left. There's Jews and Gentiles at the synagogue, and the Gentiles are the ones that are like, hey, we want to hear more of this Jesus. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. I worked really hard to try to get my thing, and I'm so good, but I've got some remnant. Verse 46. Sorry. And I took a lozenge right before. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing he put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Excuse me. We don't quit here, though. Let me get a tissue. I'm not crying because it's good scripture. I'm just crying because I can't stop coughing. Although the word of God does make you cry sometimes. Let's go there to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. While you turn there, I'll put this in my mouth. And hopefully my throat will do better. Oh, I got it. 2 Timothy 3. But in 1 Peter 4, the Bible says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you. And isn't that the problem with Christianity? That once you take a side, instead of looking at the truth, you just pick the side. You know, modern Christianity that's pro-Israelite or pro-Jews, they think that this message and that we are weird. Like, how do you not get it? My question is, like, how do you not get it? Have you not read? Like, it's pretty simple. I think I've made my – I could close the sermon right now, and I think I've made my case. It's pretty clear, right? All right. We're there in 2 Timothy 3, right there in verse 8. Now, the Bible says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's not, the reason we have to be careful is because, notice what it says, they're deceiving, but they're also what? Being deceived. So even if someone starts out with good intentions, somebody else can deceive them if they're not lined up with the word of God. It's scary what can happen if we're not doing things right. Go to Luke 4, and I'll start my last point, but real quick, I'll read for you. These individuals are operating under satanic influence. So you got to remember, by the way, you notice I call it the synagogue of Satan. We are not, I don't know what this word even means. It keeps changing over time. We are not anti-Semitic. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We love the world, but the leaders of these groups, they're reprobate in the faith. And unfortunately, people get caught up and they follow groups of people, not always knowing who you're following. Look, I follow people that, you know, that's why your parents warn you, don't hang out with certain groups of people, because you might end up in trouble for stuff you didn't even do. You know, my son, one time my wife got a little thrown off because I got really angry at my son. I don't remember. I think it was either here in church or somewhere. Somebody else did something and he was involved indirectly. And so I warned him. I said, hey, the next time this happens, you need to not be around it. And if you see it happening, you come tell me. So then he came to tell me, but he was involved. And I said, I got really mad. I don't remember what it was. I can't even remember what it was. I just remember getting mad at him. And my wife's like, I just think you went over. I said, no, I didn't go over line. Because you know what? I always pick on you, Brother Matt, but you know, that's just the way it is. You're always looking at me. Not now, Brother Matt. We'll call him Brother Pat. Brother Pat kills somebody, and I'm standing there next to him, and I don't do anything. You know who's also an accomplice? Me. Right? The problem with society is that everybody acts like, well, I didn't do it. Yeah, but if you're associated, then it's by association you're going to go down. Try to prove that in the court of law. Right? People are like, well, I didn't stab him. Yeah, but you didn't do anything to stop it either. You're going to jail. You might not go to jail as long, but you're still going to jail. Right? Oh, I didn't murder him. Or I didn't shoot him. It's the same thing when it comes to the spirit, you know, to the things of God. Hey, well, I didn't preach that. Yeah, but you were there, weren't you? Then you might as well just preached it. Right? It's the same thing with us as association. Hey, we're preaching the word of God. And by association, if I get in trouble, you're getting in trouble for the same thing. But in this way, this would be a good kind of trouble, right? So, but we're there in, you're there in Luke, but in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, not every building that has the word God means that it praises God. Not every so-called Christian organization is a Christian organization. But let's close out. You're there in Luke. Why does it matter? Because it mattered to God. I mean, really, that's really why I should close out. But also, why does it matter? What did I read for you when I first started? I read for you from 1 John 2, right? Even Jesus said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Hey, let me continue to clear this up, because you know what? As humans, we are impressionable. We are easily influenced, right? They don't preach this as much anymore because our children wouldn't understand. But in the 70s and in the 80s, Pastor, remember, they would call it what? Television programming, right? Our children don't understand what that means. Programming means that they're putting a code in your brain for you to act a certain way. Now, this one's a good one. Brother Matt is a programmer. What he does is he's a software developer. I think Brother Alex is back there too. You're giving instructions on how it needs to execute. So when the world and the religions of this world get up and say, hey, this is who you need to follow, and you're like, oh, yes, that's who we need to follow. Don't read the word. Just do what we say. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll do. Yeah, that's what we'll do. And everybody does it. Right? And you don't even, you know you shouldn't be doing certain things. You know you shouldn't be supporting certain things. But it just feels, it's not hurting anybody. You know, it doesn't affect me right now. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God said it matters. That's it. Right? It matters because God's word talks about it. And so it's important. Right? It clears up where the deception will come from, how to avoid it, what to do about it, what they will do to us for our belief, and what God will do to them for their attacks. And I like that because, you know, a lot of people are afraid to speak on these issues because of the attacks that are coming. But God said, hey, if you endure, you won't lose the crown. So then I'm like, okay, well, at least I know that if I endure, I'm getting some good stuff. So let me just continue to endure, right? Right there, I also have this point here. Traditions, you know, they've always existed and they're going to continue to exist, right? And even in the New Testament, in the time of Jesus, there was traditions. We see this, I'm pointing out. But what did Jesus do? He fought against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious institutions of his day. You know, synagogues were a legitimate place of worship in Jesus' time, right? So he, like I said, he went there because that's where the people are, but he never sanctioned the synagogues of the Bible. Like he even called them, as we see that in Revelation, the synagogue of Satan, right? Now, that being said, this was a place where people thought they were being religious. So, hey, if you go somewhere like that, that's fine. But that does not excuse you to just go where people are, like, because people say, well, Jesus would have hung out at the bar with the prostitutes. No, Jesus would not have hung out at the bar with the prostitutes. But go to Luke 4. We'll close this thing out. In Luke 4, the Bible says there in Luke 4, it says, and he taught them in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read. So Jesus got up on that day, and he's the one that is reading. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ear. So it's not like they didn't know. Why are they looking at him? Because he just read about himself, and everybody's like, whoa, this is a little bit different than, you know, when Mordecai got up there and read the book last week, right? Verse 28 says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. That's why we need to preach. You know, why does it matter? And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the bow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. So what happened? They're so mad at what he's preaching that they're literally going to throw him off a cliff. So there's no new thing. This is Jesus Christ. God Almighty, it says he was there in the beginning. Nothing came from, you know, all things exist and because of him. And they're like going to throw him off the cliff. Right? It says in verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had the spirit of unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. Hey, Jesus is in the synagogue and somebody's possessed with the devil. And I love this interaction. It says, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Even they recognize, right? And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And so Jesus did this because they already had crept in. Notice in Psalm 74 it says, they had burned down the synagogues of God. But what did Psalm 74 say? Hey, but they crept in and they were burning the place down, and they had their ensigns. Ensign is their banners. And they had all their banners and all. Isn't that what the world is preaching today? Come as you are. Everybody come in. It doesn't matter if you're queer, black, yellow, white, if you're a pedophile. Oh, you love the Jews? Even better. Come on in. You know, just everybody come on in. No. We have to draw a hard line. I got 2 minutes, so let me just close this out. Go to Galatians 6. Right? We as a church should not measure our success by applause or recognition of the world. Right? It's by our faithfulness and by the the spiritual fruit that we produce. Man, I'm trying not to cough into the mic, but with this new system, I can hear myself really well. It's great to hear myself cough like this. The worst part is it's the residual, right? It's like it's over, but go to Galatians 6. So what's the conclusion, right? As we build this thing up, and there's two reasons why we're building it up. Number one, this is stuff that we need to preach about. And I hadn't really touched in a long time. I kind of make references to it. But it's important for you to know why I make those references. So you don't think I'm just taking stuff out of context. There's maybe more than two reasons. Number two, I don't want you to confuse me with those people that are anti-Jew that have no bearing or basis on the Bible. I'm not that radical. I'm just basing my stuff based on the Bible. Look, there's a group of people, Jews, that just follow that church. They grew up in it. They were raised in it. That are lost. And if they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, even because it's antagonistic and they can get saved, more power to it. Jesus preached and the apostles preached, and you see many verses that say, and the Jews that believed, they wouldn't say it openly because of the fear of the other Jews. But you know what? They believed. Right? They got it. But I don't want to be lumped in with a group of people that aren't believing, that just say whatever is regurgitated on the news or on X or on social media. No, I want you to regurgitate what the Bible says. But also, in Galatians, it tells us, because we don't want to be deceived. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look, if we don't have the right, and I'll close with this, if we don't have the right attitude for the battles that we pick, spiritually, we're not going to make it to the end, right? It's easy for me to stand on this hill and die on this hill because it's from the Word of God. But if I'm just doing it because everybody's doing it, you know what? When it's not cool, because eventually it won't be cool, and they start attacking you and it's rough, then you won't stand, right? I want to decide now how I'll react or respond in years when it's not popular, not when it's cool. Hey, when it's cool, it's great. Everybody loves it. But I want this message to carry through in 10 years when it's not popular, because it's not going to be popular at some point in the future, because the Bible tells us that. I want to be able to stand, hold fast, and if I have to get my crown of life, well, then I just got to remind myself that's what God said, right? So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for just helping me see this message through with my throat. I know we had a couple of hiccups there, but at the end of the day, we got through it, and I appreciate that, Lord. Thank you for everybody that was patient through that message and that sat through it. And Lord, just bless the rest of the week. Bless the rest of the activities today. Thank you for all the visitors, and bless the soul winning as we go out later today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your hymnals over to page 414. We'll close out with 414. Stand up for Jesus on the first. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. Sorry, guys. I have like a continuous here. Just ignore that. Let's go to the second stanza. Sorry. There's like, it's really long. I'm sorry. I got this big print thing that's messing me up, so I apologize. Let's go to the second one. Stand up for Jesus, The trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foe. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. Let's go to number three. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece on with prayer. Danger, be never wanting there. On the last, the four. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. You are dismissed.